city was Jerusalem. The time was long ago. The people called him Jesus. The crime was the love he showed, and I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. Me love that only he could give. I brought him cause to cry. And though he taught me how to live, I taught him how to die. And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. He could have called his holy father and said, "Take me away, please take me away." He could have said, "I'm not guilty. And I'm not gonna stay, I'm not gonna pay." But then he walked right through the gates, and then on up the hill. And as he fell beneath the weight, he cried, "Father, not my will." And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. The day he wore my crown.
Thank you. We're going to read the scripture together. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's stand if you are able for the reading of the scripture. 1 Samuel 17. Before we go on, we had a couple babies while I was gone. Chanton and Jessica had a little girl. I forget her name. Was it Steve? What? That's lame. But just kidding. Iris. So glad to have her. And then Troy and Lori. They had a girl too, right? Who knows? Man, no one gets it right. What are you having, Tim? I don't know. I just know what to tell you. But congratulations to those two. Was there anybody else that had a baby while I was gone that I just didn't know? I mean, anybody at all? Yeah, I bet. So congratulations to them. Excited about that. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to finish up our series. We've been talking about facing the giants. Is there not a cause? And Goliath's going to get his today, okay? The last three weeks I was here, we were talking about this. Goliath was talking trash, but today that all comes to an end. Verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, speaking of David, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a script. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shurim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Again, thank you for this morning. I pray as we finish this story that you'd give us some truths that would encourage us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're finishing this series. We come to the part of the story that everyone knows well. From the time you were a child in Sunday school, if you were in church at that age, until, you know, even adults, one of the first stories you hear, David and Goliath, this is the part of the story we know so well. Goliath is going to lose his head, rightfully so. The whole story revolves around David, who stepped out in action when others would not, simply because David saw it as a cause. David looked past his own life. David looked past what would pertain to him, and he saw this Philistine, and he realized there was something bigger than him, and he responded to it. Many people, as I've mentioned, live lives that I would call causeless. They have no purpose in life. They have no reason for why they are on this earth, or you know, it just doesn't go much farther than the fact that they're saved, and it kind of just ends right there, but it's not supposed to. We have two options in this life. We can live for something. Well, by that I mean something significant, something more than just the everyday monotonous things of life. You know, people strive for really two things in this earth. They want security and they want significance. They want a life that has some type of meaning. If you want a life of meaning, you've got to live for something that's important. A reason to get up, not just to go to work, amen? Because how many of you wake up and you don't want to go to work, but you go because you like to get paid, right? Okay, I mean, something more than just your job. There's a reason. There's a cause that you live for. Or the other option you have is you can live for nothing. When you live for nothing, you have a tendency, if you do, in essence, think you're living for something, to live for yourselves. And that's really not living at all. Or we're just trying to survive and get through day to day and pay the bills and get through and make it through and get to the next day, or you know, the TGIF mentality. Let's just get to Friday so we have the weekend. That's a very, very sad way to live. But if we're going to live for something, we have two options. First thing is, we can live for something of eternal significance. In other words, we're living for something that pertains to God. We're living for something that pertains to a life in the afterlife. Something very important. You look back through history and you see people that have willingly chosen to suffer be mocked and whatever, some in prison simply because they're living for something eternal. Think of John Bunyan, who lived in the 1600s. He was imprisoned for about 12 years simply because he would not take a license to preach and he would not stop preaching on the streets. And they threw him in the jail and they told him he could get out anytime if he would just promise to follow their stipulations, and he wouldn't do it. And yet, instead of being embittered by being in jail for that 12 years, he wrote 9 different books during that time, one of which is the most popular book ever written outside of the Bible, and that would be Pilgrim's Progress. A great book. If you've never read it, you should. An analogy of the Christian life. How could he do that? Because he saw his cause was of an eternal nature. Sometimes people who live for something in their life, they live for the other option, which is something of temporal significance. In other words, it's just something that pertains to this life and really has no spiritual significance at all. And in some places, it's downright wrong. You think of Charles Darwin, a man who wrote the book about espousing evolution, which, by the way, is a fairy tale. Okay? There's more truth in Cinderella than there is in evolution. But he wrote a fairy tale trying to explain where man came from so we could discard God and we can live our lives thinking that we will never be accountable to a holy God, and he was wrong. And by the way, he knows better now. But the fact of the matter is, all of us need a cause to live for, and all of us need a spiritual cause to live for. Having a cause related to God does a lot for us. That's what I want us to see. How could David, who wasn't even in the army, who wasn't invited to the battle, who was just out taking care of the family business, and basically was nothing more than a glorified lunch delivery man, how can he show up and see the army fleeing from this huge 9-foot monster and yet step up and say, I'll do something about it? Because David had a cause. And when you have a cause, it'll make an impact in your life in several areas, and that's what I want to mention this morning. What does a cause do for us? First of all, it causes us to attempt. To attempt. Look at verse 40. The cause that David had led him down a road that was not going to be very easy. Verse 40, and he took the staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. David wasn't just willing to sit there and talk to the army that was afraid and then go and talk to Saul, and all it was going to boil down to action, attempting. He had to try to do something. He had to go forward. And so because he had this cause, here he is, and he's willing to attempt to take on this huge warrior. Those people who do not have a cause sit on the sideline and make excuses for their failure to attempt. Well, who did that? Look at the army. 40 days, this loudmouth, profane, pagan came and challenged them, challenged their God for 40 days. And here's a whole army of trained soldiers. What are they trained to do? Soldiers are trained to fight. Now, not an army anymore. They're trained for all kinds of social nonsense. But back, they were trained to fight. And here's a guy saying, someone step up and take me on. And not one of them would, because they didn't see the cause. They were in self-preservation mode. They saw a giant. They heard what Goliath would do to them. They felt fear. And so all they did was run. But David shows up, a man who has a cause. He didn't see a giant. He saw a pagan idolater. He heard his God being insulted and blasphemed. All he felt was anger towards the big mouth. And so what did he do? Challenged him. So someone's got to shut this guy up, and I'm going to set out to do it. Whenever you see Christianity as a lifelong time of fulfilling God's cause in your life, your family, God's will on this earth, you will attempt things for God. You'll not look for reasons to back off to the side. You'll step up and do exactly what God has said. William Carey, who is regarded as the father of modern mission, said this: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. See, too many of you want to sit on the sidelines. Too many of us are just comfortable with the fact that we're saved. We don't have enough faith to simply find out what God wants us to do and say, I'm going to do it. We passing out invitations. You wouldn't pass out an invitation to anybody. That's scary. God wants us to attempt great things. And if our cause is connected to him, we will. Well, how can we do that? Because of number two, assurance. David had assurance. Look at verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He thought, what is this kid? For he was a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. You see, when we have a cause, when there's something that's there that would cause us to fear, we don't fear because we have confidence in our God. And we'll see that in a minute. I mean, he sets out, and can you imagine? Goliath is over 9 feet tall, about 9.5 feet tall. He's got the best armor you can buy. He's got all the weapons. The fact of the matter is, he had an armor bearer in front of him also. Here comes David, no armor. You just imagine shepherd's clothes, bag on his side, a couple rocks, and a sling. And that made Goliath madder. Now, there's one thing you don't want to do when a guy is 9'5". You don't want to make him even madder than he is. And he's like, how dare you sit? This kid, he was insulted by the fact that that's the best they had to offer. But you know what? David had assurance. David didn't have a problem with it. By the way, Goliath had already been running in his mouth. That didn't bother David. Assurance. When you take the first step of attempting, fear is always going to set out to stop you. You just look at it. If you're a newer Christian, or when you were a newer Christian, or really any part of your Christian life, there's always things we learn that God wants from us. You know, it's easy in a church service or whatever to set out and say, you know, I'm going to follow God and do what he wants me to do. But when you set out to make that attempt, fear is going to come your way. Did I really get it right? You know, if I follow the Bible, I'm going to be a weirdo. It's going to be... Fear always sets out. But if we understand what is right and have confidence and assurance in our God, there's nothing we need to be afraid of. The fact of the matter is, we ought to fear not obeying God. I mean, did the Israelites want to be taken over by the Philistines who were constantly causing them trouble? It was time someone stood up and dealt with them. Assurance. People with a cause are willing to fight through whatever it takes to do what God wants them to do. Assurance. So the reason we don't have assurance, maybe it's because, unlike David, we're not really connected to our God. We get confused. By the way, if we're not in our Bibles, if we're not growing in our faith, it's going to be very, very easy for us to be stopped. David wasn't stopped. Thirdly, I want you to see the acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. And David said to the Philistine in verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. By the way, that was a big sword, and it was a big spear. and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. God, the one in charge of their army. That's what the Lord of hosts, the spiritual army, but the army. And by the way, who had Goliath cut down? God's army. He says, really, you're going to find out, cowboy. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You see, when we have a cause, it causes us to understand where our real strength comes from. David didn't say, I've been practicing with these stones. You don't know. I can throw these like a laser beam. I could hit a hair from 40 yards away. I've been practicing. Oh, you think you're tough, but I've already taken down a bear, and I've already taken down a lion, which is true. David just cut to the chase. Listen, this is a spiritual battle we're having here. You are defying not just the army, you're defying God's army, and you're defying the God of God's army. And that's who's going to allow me to take you down. When our cause is spiritual in nature, we understand we are not on this crusade alone. Everything we do that's right and it is of God, we can be successful because God is with us. Why do you think David could be out there with no armor? By the way, we're going to see that when Goliath's dead, he doesn't even have a sword to cut his head off. He has to borrow Goliath's. And Goliath didn't mind at that time. Okay? He didn't even have all that. He said, listen, all I need is what I'm comfortable with because I know that God is on my side. You are a heathen Philistine, and you've been talking trash about my God, and my God will help me win. The reason we struggle so often is because we're only relying upon ourselves. See, you're trying to do everything you do all by yourself without God's help. And can I just tell you something? That's futile. God asks us to do many things. God challenges us to do many things. And the reason we can do them is because if we have God's help, He will help us to be successful. You see, when David was talking to Saul, he brought up the fact that God allowed him to kill the lion and the bear because not for David's sake, that was for Saul's sake. He was trying to comfort Saul, like, Saul, don't worry about it. God's already worked in my life. Let me tell you what he did. So he's trying to comfort him. But when Goliath came, he didn't tell Goliath about that because he wasn't out to comfort Goliath. He was out to confront Goliath. And he wanted Goliath to know the reason why he was going to go down. It wasn't because of David. It was because of the God whom he served, and he wanted the other army to know that also. Acknowledge. By the way, we struggle. We struggle with pride. We like pride. Oh, we say we're serving the Lord. We say this and that, but the bottom line is pride. We like things that appeal to our pride. Attitudes. Things of that nature. God doesn't like pride. There's nothing good that happens when we think it's happening because of us. If we're not willing to give God the glory, nothing good is going to happen. And then I want you to see David's attitude. He has the right attitude. Look at verse 46. This day will the Lord, again, everything's about the Lord. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. And take thine head from thee. That was David's plan, even though he didn't bother to bring a sword. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the airs. He's like, look, you're not the only one going down, buddy. Your whole group's going down. And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. You know, the motive for all we do ought to be that God looks good. God looks good. People ought to be able to look around, and anything good that happens, say, if they come and say anything good about Ray Pichardo, he ought to say it's because of God. We have too many people that take credit for what God does. You know, I joke around sometimes, but, you know, you get these people, they sing, they have some album out, you know, and it's like, it's a big picture of them at the bottom, you know, God's name. You know, or so-and-so ministries. That's not about us. If we're trying to draw attention to ourselves and gather people to ourselves and everything's about us and look at how many times my messages have been listened to and listen, look at all this and all that I have done, what is that all about? David's like, this is about God. And when this whole thing is done, everybody's going to know that God did it. Wasn't that David was some sharpshooter. It's that God was in control of everything. Who are we trying to make look good? Ourselves? The verse, do all to the what? Glory of God. We need to get past ourselves. You know, sometimes we fail because we're trying to make ourselves look big. And it's all about us. And whenever we try to make it about us, God has a way of just knocking the crutches out from under us. But when our cause is outside of ourselves and is for something greater than ourselves, we're going to have that right attitude. We're not going to be content to all that nonsense. Next, a cause causes us to go to action. Verse 48. I like this. And it came to pass when David arose, so David's done telling him what's going to happen, and Goliath's not really upset. Came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. So the talking's over, it's time for battle. So Goliath starts coming towards David. What did David do? And David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. David said, you're not coming to me fast enough. Let me get to you quicker. Not only is it time for you to go down, you need to go down quickly. Action. Everything has got to lead to action. David didn't lay back when Goliath came. He rushed towards him. He was ready. He didn't need to wait. He was energized for the battle. I mean, the motivation was there, and the motivation caused him to jump up and go do what he was supposed to do. He wasn't waiting back. He couldn't wait to get to the battle. There was no thought in his mind is, you know, I got 5 stones. What if I miss? Right? He was like, I got to get at this guy. This guy's got to go. This is what this was all about in the first place. And he took off. When we have a cause, we're ready to go. And we can't wait to get at it. Remember, spiritual energy is very important. I remember many years ago, I coached our football team and I don't know if you were on the team. We were 2-time defending champions. And so that third year, we had lost some players. And I didn't think we were as good as we were the last 2 years. And Lancaster was always a really good team. And so the big game of the year is Lancaster. And to be honest with you, I already knew they were better than us. And I'm like, you know, that's probably bad for a coach to think. But I guess I'm a Rams fan, so I'm used to that kind of thing. And so I remember they were coming to our place. And the games were big. We'd have a bunch of fans out there. It's Lancaster, you know, and 2-time champion. They wanted to beat us. And that week, we had a lot going on. We only practiced 1 time for like 40 minutes. We were not ready, and I knew it. Now our guys, they're brain dead. And I remember that Friday, right before school got out, we played on a Friday night. Brother Esposito had a pep rally. And I'm thinking, what are you having a pep rally for? Because I already know what's going to happen. And we were in the pep rally, and I'd never seen the movie, but he showed a clip from the movie Rudy. How many remember that? And I never went to these pep rallies, but I snuck in. And the clip is the football team's going to play a game, and they're all sitting in the locker room, and it's really quiet. And I think they were underdogs. The coach comes in, he starts talking really quiet, and then he starts losing it, and he just kept saying, "Nobody, nobody comes into our house and pushes us around." And he kept saying, and all the players are yelling and screaming. I'm back there like, that's good. I know we're not as good as they are, but it's like, they're coming to our place. And then the guys are like, play it again, play it again. They played it again. Listen, by the time that pep rally was over, those guys were ready to play. And we went out there, Brother Chim, and we beat them pretty easy. Now, in the tournament, we didn't show Rudy, and they beat us. But for one game, these guys got this fake energy, and our crowd was there, and they went out, and they showed some action. Now, let's take the fake energy apart. Listen, good spiritual energy, knowing that we're doing what God wants us to do, will cause us to go out and actually do what God wants us to do. Action. It's going to boil down to action. Then I want you to notice the assets. Look at verse 49. And David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Here comes Goliath, big everything, helmet. And David runs towards him. At some point, David says, it's time. And he grabs a rock. Whew. Perfect. Now, was David a good aim? Probably. But I know when God's on your side, his aim was even better. You know what the asset was? What? The asset wasn't his suit. The asset wasn't a sword. The asset wasn't all that Goliath had. Goliath had way more stuff than David had. But David had the asset that mattered. He had God on his side. Let me ask you something. Do you have God on your side? What are you trying to accomplish in your life? You say, my life, it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Well, who's going with you? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you living for? You need to be very careful about that. We need to live for the right things. So many of us, we have the wrong goals in life. Yes, sir. Well, you know, I just want to be the, you know, everybody wants to be the next Russell Anderson. By the way, we could use a couple of those. But you want it because you want to have the money. I want to be the next this, or I've been at work and someone talked to me about this career and that's what I want to do. My question is, what does God want you to do? You say, but I see all the other stuff and that just seems so much better. Listen, if you have God, you have more than whatever anybody else could have. It's the beauty of following God. The longer we faithfully follow God, the more confidence we have in the resources he provides to us. The more you see God work in your life, and the more confidence you will have as you continue serving him in this life. It all builds together. But it doesn't happen if you're living for yourself. And I want you to see his achievement. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a sword, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. I guess he didn't have a planner. He didn't put this together. Therefore, David ran. Could you imagine? He's laying on the ground. David runs, jumps on top of his chest, stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath. He just reaches down and says, can I borrow this? Okay, great. Takes it out, cuts his head off. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. When we live for a cause, we do everything God wants us to do, we can have victory. See, so many people live what we call the defeated Christian life. I struggle here. I struggle here. I struggle here. I struggle here. Can I just tell you something? We all have struggles, but the struggles don't need to win. Yeah. The reason the struggles are overcoming you is because you don't have a cause. You're not living for the eternal. You're not letting God work in your life. You're living for something else, and it's showing up and how it's messing up your life. What are you really living for? You want to achieve something, but we want to achieve something that has no spiritual significance at all. And by the way, I'm not saying quit your jobs and wear a white robe and do something goofy. I'm not saying that. Okay? Go to your job and be the best employee there. That's a good spiritual goal. But listen, outside of that, let's have something more than that in our life. What about your marriage? How do you want your marriage to be? What about your family? How do you want your family to be? What about your church? And this is your church. What part do you play in your church? Let's be a part of it. And then the last thing is this, association. Look at verses 52. Remember the army of the Israelites who was petrified, hiding, running whenever Goliath would come and talk his trash? What are they? How are they acting now? Verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose. It's the first time they've stood up for anything. And shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shirim. even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and spoiled their tents. They kill them, they knock them out, and then they go take their stuff from them. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem and put the armor in his tent. You know, when you live for a cause, you encourage others to live for a cause. You give strength to others. See, so many people walk around thinking, you know, God could never do anything. That could never happen. And they see people who God is working in their life, and they're like, well, maybe if God can do something in their life, why can't he do anything in my life? Association. He encouraged others. Now, let's look at our lives this morning. Our theme this year is making a difference. Listen, you'll never make a difference if you are not different. But you got to have something you're living for. What are you living for today? If I were to come to you and say, what's the most important thing in your life? What would your answer be? Let me ask you this. If I were to come to you and say, if God would let you do anything you want, accomplish anything you want in your life, what would your answer be? Well, I have to go talk to so-and-so and see what they say. Wrong answer. Well, what are we living for? You frustrated? Struggling with areas of your life, maybe you need to get involved with God's cause. Amen. Maybe you just need to jump in 100% and say, I'm in. Yeah, there's risk. You know, there's things that you'll have to give up. There's things that are going to be different in your life, but it's better. David made a difference because he was willing to live for a cause in his life. Let's stand together this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed.